Emergency Solutions.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. I'm going to start out the show this week with my friend Rick Ackerman. Rick is a newsletter writer and trader, makes his home. Started out in San Francisco in the on the old Pacific Coast Stock Exchange. Works out of the glorious state of Colorado right now. Very, very bright individual. Rick has been doing radio on our show for, I don't know, probably the last 2 or 3 years. Rick, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me, Al.
Got a question for you. Big Al went down to Bellevue, Washington yesterday, and I was in a facility where they sell parts and things like that for exotic cars, and I noticed while we were in there that a number of people were crowded around the television set. They were watching MSNBC. I looked at the screen, and it said breaking news, and the breaking news was a speech that President Obama was giving where he was defending the administration, defending the government's actions as to how they have handled the situation, this terrible oil spill, how that's been handled, you know, by the government. He said they've done everything, et cetera, been there since day one, et cetera. And then CNN, which is basically, you know, I would have to put in the category of being liberal media, interviewed people in New Orleans, actually, and they were all very angry, and they were saying that the government has done nothing, et cetera, at least during Katrina. At that time, at least the government came in and, you know, and attempted to do something, for lack of better terms. And our president was very angry, and he was calling, saying that people were not telling the truth, et cetera, very defensive. I don't think the government has done really virtually anything in this case, and I think they needed to step in and take a larger role. What are your thoughts on that, Rick?
I don't think the government had a large role to play here, and I think that if it were larger, then you would have heard the governor, Bobby Jindal, make more noise. You know, when Katrina hit, I think you could lay a lot of it at the doorstep of Ray Nagin. You know, they had the ability to evacuate, and they didn't really take advantage of it. And it turned out to be a real disaster when a lot of people got stuck in New Orleans. But here, from the, you know, the technological side, plugging up the leak, the government really has no role to play at all. You know, it can facilitate meetings or whatever, but the expertise to do what needs to be done comes from the oil companies. You know, the government, it's possible maybe they didn't push the Army Corps of Engineers hard enough to get certain shoreline protections in place as quickly as they might have been placed. But again, if the problem were as bad as what we saw during Katrina, then Governor Jindal would have made a lot more noise. So, you know, the technology is really cutting edge for the oil companies themselves, and I don't know that the government's experts had anything to say here.
So basically you would maintain that this is the responsibility, and I agree with that, of British Petroleum, and you're saying that the government, there was really nothing in this case that the government could do. Is that correct?
With respect to the leak, you know, and but the piece of it where the government could help and did was to get shoreline protections in line. You know, one of the things that New Orleans sought was the legal right to create embankments of sand, you know, to build up, I guess, essentially sandbars to protect. There was an island down there, a pristine ecological piece of the Gulf, and it seemed like a little longer than it might have if the government essentially was in there, if the federal government greenlighted everything that needed the sanction and approval of the Corps of Army Engineers.
Interesting point. So you're saying basically that if one expands what you're saying that, look, we're in a capitalistic society, and it really isn't the responsibility of the government to step in and put a whole bunch of pressure on British Petroleum. And I think that if from the standpoint of being, you know, in an environment that is truly free market, I would agree with you on that one 100%. I think what could, number one, am I correct in what I just said, Bob, or Rick, I'm sorry?
I think that, you know, in situations like this, real national emergencies, that the government can play a role. They can push BP, but I'm just not buying that BP didn't do everything possible as quickly as it could to get this situation resolved. You know, there are conspiracy theories out there that BP kind of dragged its feet. The idea is that they wanted to preserve the well at all cost, or even that they were trying to drive the price of oil up at some point. But I just think that the company, even though they're entirely culpable for this and you know, probably through negligence to boot, but I think that since the leak happened, they've been doing everything they could with all due haste.
Next question that I would have, I think I would agree with that because, you know, it's truly in their best interest not to drag their feet. And I agree with you completely on that. What I find to be sad here, okay, looking at this thing from an entirely different perspective is the political football and the political posture, well, the political football that this was turned into and the political posturing, that's going on both sides of the aisle right now. I find it to be really, really sad, okay, that people are looking to gain political advantage. You know, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, they're here, they're trying to gain political advantage over from a situation that truly is very, very serious. I mean, you know, the fishing industry in the Gulf states right now is just being decimated, and the environmental impact of this thing is absolutely huge. And in spite of that, both sides of the aisle are trying to turn this thing into political advantage. And you know what? To me, Rick, that is really, really criminal on both sides.
I see it a little bit differently. I see the politics of it as being greatly exaggerated by a media that's trying to create its own incitements. You know, I was watching that imbecile John Stewart last night just briefly for as long as I could stomach him, and he went into a long thing about you know, essentially conservatives and Republicans saying that this is Obama's Katrina, and you know, they took a lengthy montage of Republicans saying this is Obama's whatever, and they were essentially going back to Bush's errors and comparing things that Obama has done. So I don't think that the political the heat is there to the extent that you might infer just watching some of the liberal news outlets like MSNBC and some of the shows like Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the controversy is quite what they're making it out to be.
Well, the only reason I'm saying that, and that's a very good point, the only reason I'm saying that is that I, sitting here in the studio, don't know, quite frankly, if the posturing on both sides is accurate or not. I really don't, because I'm not in the room with these guys. But let's just assume that it's accurate. Pardon me for a minute. I got this frog in my throat. Let's just assume for a minute that it's accurate, and that's really what's going on. And I would have to maintain that that's very sad. I think that that's very, very sad. And if it's only actions being caused by, or if it's inaccurate reporting or overblowing something being caused by the media, I would have to say that is very sad also. Final comments?
I think that, you know, politics has just become more rancorous, certainly, than I can ever remember it being. And that's what we're seeing. They're just the media outlets are trying to provoke here in any way they can, and I think the provocation is coming more from the left and the liberal side of the coverage than from the conservative. You know, if you look at Fox, Glenn Beck wears a suit now. You know, Fox has done a good job to kind of tone it down, and I think it's a good place to get both sides of the argument as opposed to MSNBC.
Interesting point. I've always felt that way about Fox. Mr. Ackerman, listen, always a pleasure chatting with you. The gal's going to be right back. Rick, have a great weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions' natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am Al Corlin. Here with Roger Wiegand, great newsletter writer of a newsletter entitled Trader Tracks. Roger and I want to give a little bit of coverage here to an event that's going to be coming up next weekend, specifically June 6th and 7th in Vancouver, British Columbia. It is the Cambridge House International World Investment Conference, going to be held at the Vancouver Convention Center West. I have been taking part in the Cambridge House conferences for as long as, well, not as long as I can remember, but for at least the past dozen years. Roger's been doing it also, and we think it is perhaps one of the best places to go as an educational experience to learn more about the business. There are some phenomenal speakers who are going to be there. Rick Rule of Global Resource Investments, Pamela Aden's going to be there, Frank Holmes of U.S. Global Investors is going to be there. Virtually all of the guests on our radio program are going to be there. It is just a very, very worthwhile time, in my opinion, for anyone who has a time well spent, I should say, for anyone who has an interest in this particular industry. Roger, what are your views on that? And tell us a little bit about what you're going to be lecturing on up there.
Well, we're very excited about it. The Vancouver show in January and June are really the two most attended from what we've seen in our experience the last 5 years. Over the course of the show, I've got more work to do than ever. I've got 5 speeches and panels. I've got 2 panels to participate. I've got a ballroom keynote speech. We're going to talk about taxes and cash and money. We've also got a workshop. I've got a special speech for one of my clients, a silver company. We'll be working and visiting with our readers and investors at our booth at the show. As you mentioned, the people who really understand this business will be there in full force. And as we heard yesterday, there are over 10,000 pre-registrations for the show. I don't know how many booths at this point, but it's going to be a big one. And in light of the recent metals rallies, of course, that always encourages more people to come and to participate. We would suggest that those who can should go to the show, gather the information from the various companies they're interested in, listen to the speakers, try to get as educated as you can and formulate some kind of a plan so that you could participate in the biggest gold and silver rally, really, of our adulthood. The last time this happened was 79-81. That's a long time ago. And this one is just barely getting started in our view. We've watched gold over the last decade go from around $250 to over $1,200 today. Even despite this being a holiday weekend, gold futures trading for June and after hours are in the green again, $1,213.70. So we would encourage you all to go if you can. If you can't, gather information from the website at Cambridge House International, and you can get in touch with some of the people that way as well. So it looks to be a really good show.
Well, they're all good shows. You talked about the companies. I talked a little bit about the speakers. The marriage of those two venues in one location, I think, is what really gives the value, Raj. It's, you really have the who's who of our industry taking part in these Cambridge House investment conferences. Given the fact that the preponderance of natural resource-based companies are located in Canada, specifically in either Toronto or in Vancouver, British Columbia, it's the natural place for these conferences to be held. Joe Martin and his crew, Howard Fitch and the rest of the folks there, really, really do an exceptional job in helping attendees increase their knowledge in this very important area. Now, it isn't just limited. I mean, it stresses obviously hard assets, but also there are some very, very interesting and lively political discussions that go on there that I think are incredibly valuable. Now, one thing I would suggest, as most of our listeners, or hopefully all of our listeners, are aware, we shoot an awful lot of video. The radio program is evolving into being both video and audio, so you can put faces to names, so to speak. And currently, our videos are hosted, among other places, on YouTube. And if you simply click Corlin Economics, you know, on YouTube, you at the top click in or type in Corlin Economics Report, you can see a very, very interesting interview that I did with Howard Fitch, Howard is the president of Cambridge House, and that too will give you more information on this really worthwhile event. Now, I will be doing the opening panel on Sunday, the day the show opens, where we will be discussing issues that, and we will turn that into a recording for the radio, which will air the following week. And then I will also be recording a radio show at a workshop that I will be doing Sunday afternoon. Roger, what are you going to be doing? You said you got five events.
I've got a private luncheon I'm speaking at it for Endeavor Silver, 11:30 to 1:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
On the afternoon, I've got a workshop, which normally I have anywhere from 100 to 200 people at that one. I've got a panel at the end of the day on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a ballroom speech on Monday at 1 o'clock. And I think I've got a panel at another time. I can't remember. But all told, I've got five events in 2 days. It's going to be fun.
What's your keynote speech going to be on, Roger?
Well, we're going to be talking about price controls, taxes, and the things that really are going to affect cash and credit worldwide. I've got 30 minutes, and we've got some interesting things coming.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. Kathy and I are going to be out there. We're also going to be shooting a tremendous amount of video at the conference, and we will definitely put that up on our website also, so you can count on getting some more information there. Okay, let me give you just a few specifics on this thing again. The Gold Show is the Cambridge House, I should say, World Resource Investment Conference is going to be held June 6th and 7th in Vancouver, British Columbia. Vancouver Convention Center West, that's right on the water. It is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous venue. You can click on the banner on our homepage if you want to pre-register. You can save yourself a whole bunch of money if you do that, because the registration fee is waived if you click on that banner. Let me just wrap this up real quick by telling you some of the folks who you can expect to see at this conference. Some of the big names: Bill Murphy, Chris Powell from Gata, Jay Taylor from Jay Taylor's Golden Technology Stocks, Maren Katusa from Casey Research. Louis James is going to be there. Louis is from Casey Research. Louis and Maren are both absolutely brilliant. Peter Spina is going to be there from Goldseek and Silverseek. Victor Adair, Roger, is going to be there. It's just a host of people who I think you can really, really benefit from by listening to what they have to say, taking notes. And then, you know what, go up after their presentations and introduce yourselves to these folks, have a few words with them. That's what they're there for, and that's why Joe Martin, Howard Fitch, and the rest of the folks put on these very, very valuable conferences. Cambridge House World Investment Conference. Hope to see you there. I'll be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready? To get prepared for hard times ahead. Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off the Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance, and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part? This $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up for free at offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency. And I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. I'm Roger Mason, research chemist and developer of the all-natural supplement Beta Prostate, and I want you to know about a free bottle giveaway. Beta Prostate helps your body support good prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Make the call today and get your free bottle.
To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-360-8306. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-360-8306. That's 1-800-360-8306.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
We're talking in the first hour, as we always do, really about political issues. And I want to get an opinion from Dan Pacenti on an editorial that was written by Peggy Noonan that it appeared in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, Friday. And she says, in essence, reading the first bit of it here, she says, I don't see how the president's position and popularity can survive the oil spill. This is his third political disaster in his first 18 months in office, and they were all, as they say, unforced errors, meaning they were shaped by the president's political judgment and instincts. She talks about the tearing and unnecessary war over his health care proposal and its costs. Number one. Number two, his quote-unquote day-to-day indifference to the views and hopes of the majority of voters regarding illegal immigration. And point number three, she says, and I quote, and now the past almost 40 days of dodging and dithering in the face of an environmental calamity. I don't see how you politically survive this. Here's Big Al's view. He is the president of the United States. He firmly believed in the medical issue. I did not agree with him, but he did what he thought was right. Illegal immigration, we talked about that on the Business Talk Radio Network program on Saturday, and basically getting input from Jeff Dice, Chief of Staff of Congressman Ron Paul, from a gentleman from the Cato, Dan Griswold from the Cato Institute, and some other folks. I'm not really sure that the illegal immigration thing is being handled improperly. It's not being handled at all, which I think is really interesting. And then dodging and dithering in the face of an environmental calamity. I mean, as Rick Ackerman said earlier in the show, what's the government supposed to do? Dan, you're a little more critical than I am. Do you agree with Peggy, or what do you think?
I agree with Peggy. I would say some other things, too. I think reality is catching up to the president.
he ran a campaign that apparently he was to transcend most of reality. He was supposed to be able to solve all problems and be able to find consensus in the middle. And the big issues of the day, whether it's uniting the Israelis and the Palestinians or solving all of our immigration worries or fixing the economy, he just he had an answer, although it wasn't explained in the campaign. It was just an answer and a lot of flashing lights and smoke and mirrors. And now people are starting to realize that, hey, there are no easy answers. It's the same answers. It's which ones do we subscribe to? And he subscribes to ones that are on the left, primarily. And he dithers, and he's indecisive, as he's demonstrated in this oil thing. There isn't a lot you can do, to be honest with you. They jumped on George Bush for Katrina. Much of that was outside of what he could have handled. You had a bad situation down there politically, and you had a natural situation that just wasn't going to be overcome overnight. But then the same here. But there are a number of things he could have done. He could have marshaled people together, the strengths in the government. There's a number of scientists that are employed by the government. He could have put them together and taken over the actual responsibility of fixing that leak. And he didn't do it.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. Is it the government's responsibility to do that?
Or, yes, it is. It's the government's responsibility because it's a major disaster. And so the government's going to have to step in. It can't just let a private party that caused a disaster fix the problem. It's got to go in and take control of the problem. Now, it may employ that company to go in and be the chief entity that solves the problem, but it's definitely got to take it over, and it's got to make sure that all assets are marshaled to get it solved. As it stands, we're coming up on 40 days with oil still pumping out of there, and that's not a situation that can stand.
Well, but we live in a capitalistic society. We have to live by the failures and live by the successes, and this is clearly a failure, isn't it? Isn't it the responsibility of, in this case, British Petroleum to solve the problem as opposed to having the government come in?
Oh, no. It's very much British Petroleum's problem when it comes to finding them, when it comes to penalizing them, when it comes to asking them to try and fix the problem. But it's very much the government's problem because it's a public problem. It's in the public arena. It's polluting our public waters. They have to step in. They have to try and bring whatever resources they have to bear and whatever coordination they can bring to the project. It may be that they don't have any ability to do anything. That's a very real possibility. But you can't just leave BP on its own to resolve this. And I don't think that's totally the case. I don't think they have. But at the same time, I'm not convinced that they really got in there and made a concerted effort to bring all of the resources that we have to this project and come to a resolution. And like I said, there's been a number of instances where he was indecisive. You have governors that want to put sandbars out there, or governors that want to make decisions about where you put booms and how much you do of that, and a variety of different decisions. And he took his sweet time. But it's a measure of this particular government. They don't have any fancy new answers that nobody's ever thought of. They don't transcend anything. They have left answers. They've been employing those. They have not been working. And now the long knives are coming out from various entities that you wouldn't expect. A lot of the liberal entities are saying, wait a minute, we want more than what you're doing. And they're very dissatisfied with them. And then, of course, the conservatives in most of the country, which is center-right, really doesn't like it. This is not what they signed up for. And so you're starting to see that some of the accusations against him, some of the problems are actually sticking with him. That's the difference.
Well, a certain amount of the problems that occurred during during George Bush's administration, though, they're definitely sticking with him. I mean, you don't hear very much about the guy anymore. Even in the situation in Haiti, he played a very, very minor is the wrong word. He played a very almost invisible role, and Bill Clinton came out and basically was the flag waver, and I think got a lot of credit for the U.S. response. What do you think about that?
Certainly, Bill Clinton's doing his best to fix his image. He did a lot of immoral and kind of disgusting things while he was in office. His term in office was riddled with all kinds of scandals. The Bush administration, on the other hand, they like to point to scandals, but the scandals were really not self-serving. The problem was he fought two wars, and nobody likes war. Some people believe, as I do, that sometimes that's the best option, but nobody likes it. I don't like it. And presidents really take a lot of heat for wars. Katrina, while they want to put that on him, it was a mass failing of the local government, both the state and city, and people who made really bad decisions, individuals that made really bad decisions. And you have a massive amount of water. There wasn't much he could do. I mean, it really wasn't. They got on his case about overflying the site and how many days after it was, 4 days or whatever. You know, there's nothing he could have done. He could have been on the ground in waders and it wouldn't have mattered. But I think you're going to see that over time the Bush administration's term is going to look a whole lot better than it did. And this one is going to be looking quite ineffective, the Obama administration.
Well, we got a minute left. Let me just get your opinion on one last thing, and that is I think the nail in the coffin, if there in fact is a coffin in President Obama's coffin, a neck, in his future, for lack of better terms or whatever, I think the nail, the final straw is going to be, I think people are going to be very, very disenchanted with what's going on in Afghanistan. And I don't think we're not even come close to accomplishing anything there, in my opinion. And I think he's going to take an awful lot of flack for that. You got 30 seconds. You agree or disagree?
I think that's going to be problematic. But I think the bigger problem is these massive deficits. He's really changed the profile of our balance sheet. He's taken on so much debt and taken on so many issues that were never contemplated in our Constitution. And people do not like it. And they're marching in the streets, people who never did before. And I think there's going to be a price to pay for that. And frankly, it's not going to be easy to get off that track.
It's going to be virtually, in my opinion, not easy. It's going to be impossible to get off that track. Hey, if you're enjoying these conversations, and I hope you are, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are free for $30. And Swiss filters are free for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Okay, welcome back. Big Al's here to wrap up the first hour of the Corlin Economics Report, heard on all these Genesis radio stations. I'm going to go back to the subject that I discussed with Rick Ackerman in the first segment, and that is this terrible disaster that has occurred with this oil. I don't know. You call it a spill? Do you call it leakage? I call it a disaster. Chatting with Rick, Rick was saying that he doesn't feel that government should play any role in this. That it really is the responsibility of the company. I agree with that, but Roger has and Yale both have some interesting things to say about where there really is a governmental role, and perhaps where they're really not accomplishing what they should be accomplishing in terms of protecting the state of Louisiana, among others. Roger, you want to start out?
If you think back a few years to the other disaster we had with the Valdez, where that boat actually had a big leak. And it did cause a lot of damage. There were a lot of lawsuits that dragged on in court for years. People on shore and around that big spill had the opportunity to try to work through the problems and the aftermath to the extent that they could rethink the problem and possibly put together some kind of a plan so that if it did in fact happen again, they could deal with it a little better than they did with the one with Valdez. Obviously, they didn't pay any attention from what I can see. The spill is worse than the last one. We're in the 39th or 40th day of this big spill continuing to go. And let's not lose sight of the fact that this thing exploded. 11 people are dead. A multi-million dollar piece of equipment sitting on the bottom of the ocean. And now we've got an oil well, that's pumping out at the rate of who knows what. The company said 5,000 gallons a minute. Some have said as much as 16,000. This is a mess, and it's going to go on for a long time. We did see an emergency bulletin of television on Bloomberg. The New York Times just reported that the Top Kill program, which they put in place this week to try to stop it, has been suspended. Now, what that means, I cynically told Al that maybe these guys are going on vacation for the holiday weekend, but I don't really believe that. I think that what they've got to do now is look at the reaction they've received engineering-wise and results-wise and try to go to the next step. The downside position from what I can see on the news is they're going to drill another hole right next to the one they've got, and that, in fact, would not be operable until the middle of August. And if it goes on that long, we're looking for weeks and months of additional oil spill. At that, I think I'll turn it over to Yale.
You know, Yale, I want to, before you say anything, I want to say that, you know, your perspective is very important to me, and I know to listeners, because you've been involved in the resource industry now for, well, you know, since the mid-1970s. You are at a very high level, you're involved in that industry, and it would be interesting to me to get your perspective, not necessarily just as a private citizen, but, you know, as a member of the resource industry. Comments?
In fact, it's interesting. I worked for Chevron at one point in time and Pennzoil, two oil companies, and that's way back in my career. But I think the BP, when I feel for them from an industry point of view, I have very little doubt that they're calling on the best expertise known to man they could afford to. I know they were quoted, and I heard them interviewed saying, you know, the people working on this, and I bet, and I think it's the best, likely the best team you could get from anywhere on the planet. Obviously, a government can't pretend to take over the role of saying we're going to do a better job of managing this thing than the company. It's just like if Obama says, I'm going to send the next space shuttle off, the government, my administration is going to do it, and we don't need NASA for it, you're going to be saying, oh, yeah, well, this will be good to watch. So the fact is, you know, that I think they're probably handling it as best they know how. I think the implications for the energy and Obama's energy plan and all that is profound. It's profound here in Canada. We were just in this government is in the process of opening up offshore exploration here in a very active fault zone. They said the industry's got a clean record. There's potentially a massive oil field out there, and I bet it has no chance of getting opened up, and then you can go to the Beaufort Sea and elsewhere. So it has profound implications just operationally for those companies who in the Gulf, and many of them, I mean, I think there's tens of thousands of wells been drilled out there. It isn't just a few. It's tens of thousands, and they've been done successfully.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get a disaster like this, though, yeah. You know, and it's kind of like the issue with, you know, with nuclear power. You know, you had a minute number of people who lost their lives in a nuclear accident that happened in Chernobyl. Nobody in the United States has ever been killed in nuclear power, but because of the, for lack of better terms, a lot of the environmentalist movement, and because of the ignorance, and I use that word very, very matter-of-factly, not derogatorily. Let's change ignorance to lack of knowledge, because of the lack of knowledge about the nuclear industry, and to a very large extent because due to the lack of knowledge of the energy industry and how that particular asset is harnessed. You know, you have one admittedly very, very terrible situation that is not being handled as effectively as people would like to see, but that could have a profoundly negative effect on the future of the industry, and that's what I don't like. I also don't like, I have to say, the fact that this thing has turned into a damn political football. I don't like the posturing that's happening on either side of the aisle. You know, the current administration is blaming the previous administration for lack of oversight on the oil companies, and the Republicans are now saying, you know, the federal government isn't doing enough. And, you know, I have the sense that nobody really cares about the people in the area. They just care about gaining political strength from this thing, and I don't like that.
When Roger was talking about Exxon Valdez, the human cost on the Exxon Valdez side was relatively small.
Yeah.
It just wasn't that settled. And, yeah, I'm not saying it was a small incident. The human cost of this is just profound, and that's what makes it so, so sad and what have you. Now, obviously, there's going to be a whole number of areas of negligence where you can tighten up on this and why that blow-up preventer wasn't serviceable. You know, that's the sort of thing that will be addressed and answered to and what have you. So those things, changes will come. But my big concern is simply we have energy requirements and measures in the millions of barrels a day,
mm-hmm.
and that isn't going to change. It can change policy where now the government will misdirect a lot of money into alternate energy to solve the problem tomorrow
And it isn't a problem you can solve tomorrow by alternate energy, but we could go down another path of misuse of public funds to satisfy the political imperative. And that's the way that many of these governments operate. And I'm a Canadian. I can say in Canada we do it the same way.
Yeah, interesting point. Raj, haven't heard from you for a while. What do you think?
Well,
any further insights?
I agree with that. I just, immediately the reaction was an overreaction. The president said, well, we're not going to drill in Virginia. We're going to pull in those permits. Exxon or Chevron, I forget which one, has got a monster oil field on the south side of Cuba. They've flown that with airplanes. The field is supposedly as big as Cuba. Castro wants it drilled, but the oil companies aren't going to touch it until the communists are out of there, and I don't blame them. Now, the field that Yale is talking about, I'm not acquainted with, but where is that, Yale?
With the Canadian one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the field you said that isn't going to get drilled.
Well, it's off the west coast of British Columbia.
Okay.
Around the Queen Charlotte Islands. There's been a moratorium on drilling it, but everybody knows it's there. The seismic, all that work was done, and the current government was talking about opening it up. That's been part of their policy.
Yeah. Well,
in addition to that, you've got the ANWR drilling that's been stopped up on the North Slope and up in the Alaska area. There's a lot more oil and gas up there, and that's been prevented from moving forward on the basis of permits. There's plenty of oil and gas in this world. I believe in the peak oil story. This stuff isn't going to last forever. But by the same token, there's a lot of drilling that should happen that's not going to happen because of this problem. And that's really very unfortunate. And I totally agree with Yale in that the alternative energy program that I've seen over the last 3 to 5 years, trying to turn corn into fuel and some of the other ideas, wind and solar and everything, that's probably 0.1%. Well, it does not begin to address any of the problems as far as the amount of energy needed, number one. Number two, unless it's subsidized, it's not going to work. It's too costly.
And there you have it from Roger Wiegand and Yale Simpson. I agree 100%.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.